This is the Amateur Fanboy Podcast with your hosts, Chase Aguirre and Mike Artaza. Welcome. It's another fun podcast, and today we're going to go into one of the worst divisions in the league because I hate them. I'm just kidding. The NFC East. It's Chase's team here on the Cowboys, so I'm going to let him break down the Cowboys. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel good, Mike. Makes me feel good.
So he's going to try to do this as unbiased as possible. Yes. And I will try to grade him on the unbiased as possible on the Cowboys.
You're still going to hate on some of the stuff I say. That's fine.
But the Cowboys are 10-6. The Eagles are 9-7. The Redskins are 7-9. And the awful Giants. The awful Giants. Or 5-11.
What's the difference?
They'll probably be as terrible as they were last year. I'll let Chase here start off the Cowboys and the breakdown. Go for it.
So first off, hopefully Zeke will be paid by the time training camp starts,
or at least in camp. It doesn't matter if he's paid.
I still believe he will either be paid or be in camp. I don't believe he's gonna actually hold out.
Won't hold out into the season.
No, and the whole proof of football talk is clickbait. As me and all my Cowboys people like to say that they just like to put the Cowboys name in there for clicks, you know, so people will talk about it. And that's fine. It's a slow year. You know, you do what you gotta do.
And we kind of know about, you know the team. It's Dak, it's Zeke, it's Cooper. They did get Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup. But what should we expect from this team, Chase?
Honestly, a way better offense, at least a more creative offense.
Especially since they did...
their offense won't be vanilla.
Quarterback coach is now their offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. This team should be, catch up. I don't know. They should be at least a modern offense. Not sure exactly how to say that, because they're probably going to have some sort of spread influences from college,
right?
Would be my assumption, and kind of move away from these old, clunky, just run the damn ball kind of thinking.
But see, here's where you're right, and where I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Like, the Cowboys will be a lot more creative. They'll do more screen plays, more screen for the running back for Zeke out the backfield. They'll slot him up in this. But at the end of the day, Zeke's still going to be a big part of that offense, and I still believe their philosophy is to run the ball. Now, what the difference between what they were doing when they ran the ball last year to what they can do this year is switch it. Like, you have a play. Now you can audible, but you can still run the ball. But it's just, you switched up to what you're seeing. And that's what I think we're more going to get this year. I still think their plan is to run the hell out of the ball, pound the rock, and, kill clock. And they still want to do that. That's still their game plan. That's the Cowboys are different in that regard. They have a back, and a lot of teams I know have great backs. But the Cowboys thing is you give the ball to your best player as many times as you can, and that's Ezekiel Elliott, and then go with whatever else comes after that. When you play action, you know, you got your Coopers, your Gallups. Jason Witten's back, so he'll be nice on third down for a security blanket for Dak again. And the biggest thing for me is that the offensive line is 100% healthy, and I think that's the biggest thing for this team this year is having a fully healthy offensive line.
My thing is, they have given Zeke, it would have been 300 carries all three seasons that he's played, but he got suspended in 2017. In 2016, he had 322. In 2017, he had 242. In 2018, he had 304. I would assume those attempts are actually going to go down this season. They draft two backs. One of them is actually, a normal back who can, carry the ball, and Mike Weber. And they get Tony Pollard, who can kind of do a trade of everything, basically. I would assume, especially since if you give Zeke the money that he's wanting, or at least close to it, give him a contract extension, you got to stop using him, killing him, basically. You need to keep him fresh in the game. You got to keep him lower five less carries, give him less carries. Give it to if Mike Weber a couple carries, give Tony Pollard an opportunity. To me, you got to kind of transition a little bit to starting, to ease off of Zeke just a little bit, just because two things. You want to keep him healthy. You want to have his usage, his mileage, to not be as high as it is. This guy's going to hit 1,000 if he hasn't hit yet, but he's going to hit 1,000 carries in his fourth season, maybe in the first couple games, which is crazy for a back in this era that, running backs just don't get the carries that they used to. They get... you know, 10 to 12 carries, and they kind of transition to multiple backs, which, I mean, if you look at last year, like I think we said this in the prior pod, Zeke is the only back in 10 plus games to get more than 15 carries in each game in 10 or plus more. One back.
You said that way that's, different.
That's anyway. The first. That's, you know, it's completely different. 10 years ago, there was 25. Mm-hmm. It's a different era. I guess it makes sense because they're not putting a lot more value in running backs. And I'm not sure if what the Cowboys plan is. What if you're Jerry Jones, and I guess not Jerry Jones, you know, Steven Jones. Are you going to continue to, you know, rely on Zeke to be your, basically your offense?
See, I think that they have a lot more depth as far as, like, you know, they got Cobb now. Mm-hmm. They got Gallup, who's going to take another step. There's a guy that, you know, it's probably not getting talked about a lot, but I think is going to make huge strides this year, and that's John Vea Johnson. He's looked really good in OT and rookie minicamp. He's looked really well in the offseason workouts. They have you know, really, really high hopes that he could maybe end up being maybe what Tavon Austin is right now for this team in the future, be that special teams guy that can be, you know, start out being dominant and then can also, you know, play a few snaps here and there and you know, be a threat. Mm-hmm. But for me, and like you said, yes, they're going to take Zeke and they're going to, you know, they should, and I really do want them to, as much as I love Zeke. They do need to, you know, lighten his workload a little bit, but he still needs to be that guy that, you know, you go to, like, you need a big first down, you're going to give the ball to Zeke, or Zeke's going to mm-hmm. be in the field. And that's all that, to me, that's what matters. And as long as Zeke is on the field when it matters in the big moment, that's all I care about. Don't take Zeke off the field in a big third down in a big game because, oh, you know, he needs rest. No, he needs to be in the field on that. And if
maybe take him off on first down.
Exactly. Maybe let Mike, like you said, let Mike Weber.
Or maybe maybe take him off a series. Just to get him
I don't know that I would ever take him off a series, but maybe take him off a few carries here and there.
But if Mike Weber's on, you know, is on fire, is kind of playing very well, you might just take him off for a series just to, you know,
I just think,
take off some reps.
I just think that Zeke is so integral into this that you can't just that's like saying. I know, and it's quarterback as a different position, but that's like saying, all right, let's take Aaron Rodgers out for a series. You're never gonna fucking do that. It just doesn't make sense. You just don't sit one of your best players off for an entire series.
To me, I would like to put a little less pressure on Zeke and put a little more on Dak.
And that's fine. That's fine.
That's where I think they're transitioning to.
And that's fine.
They come in, they trade last year for Amari Cooper. Now he's going to actually have an offseason with the team. He's looking to have a breakout season, more so than he has. You know, last year with the Cowboys and a couple seasons ago, I think his first or second year with the Raiders, he had a big, good season, and we thought he was gonna come in and be a superstar, and he hasn't been that as of yet. I think that's where he needs to move this year, especially since he's looking for a big contract. Mm-hmm. He wants to show that his worth. To me, end of the day, though, Dak's gotta be that quarterback that takes them to the next level. He's gotta take the pressure and continue to move on.
And I'm not saying that Dak doesn't need to be better, because he definitely does, but I've said it plenty of times, maybe on this podcast, probably more times on Twitter. Dak doesn't need to be elite for this team to win a Super Bowl. Dak just needs to be above average, and that's all they need him to be. They really do not need, as much as people think they like that defense is going to be a lot better. Zeke, you got more weapons for Dak. All he needs to do is make.
I feel like Dak needs to be good to win a Super Bowl.
You tell me that he does not. He needs to be more than Alex Smith.
Because, to win a Super Bowl?
Because Alex Smith took a Niners with what the Cowboys kind of have, a really good run game. He made plays when he needed to make plays with his feet or otherwise.
And
up until whatchamacallit fumbled up, like, that team could have been in the Super Bowl. And that's all I think Dak needs now. Can he be better than that? Of course he can. But I don't think he has to for this team to be successful.
Look, end of the day,
and
though,
I think that's what people get it messed up.
If you want him to be Brent Johnson or Dilfer, I think he should, to me, in this new era, the defenses aren't as good as they used to, and it's a lot more offensive. You know, they get a lot of priority on penalties and things like that. Mm-hmm. I would like Dak to, I think, personally, if you want to win a Super Bowl, I think the fast way to get there is Dak's really good.
Of course. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is, for the people that tell me that the Cowboys can't unless Dak's really good, I think that's false. That's where I have the issue. I think Dak can be at 3,000 yards, 25, 26 touchdowns, and like two or three, maybe four interceptions. And that's really good with what they have, the rest of what they have to win a Super Bowl.
But
there's nothing wrong. He doesn't need to throw 40 touchdowns. Let's
say, and I know this may not happen. This is just a something I'm throwing out there.
Okay.
And we got to move on to the next team. For whatever reason, let's say Zeke doesn't get paid or he gets traded. Not that he's going to. I'm just saying. Would you then be worried on this team winning just with Dak alone on with his receivers?
Depending on how Dak takes the next step, yes, I would be a little bit. But I still think
you couldn't see this team winning without Zeke, is what I'm saying.
I can see this team maybe not winning the Super Bowl, but being a playoff team without Zeke. But I think that's what the difference between with Zeke and without Zeke is being that Super Bowl team.
To me, if you're going to keep Dak, you need to re-sign Zeke.
No, I 100%.
If Zeke goes, to me, Dak gets to go, and you gotta find a.
Like I said, I think they will both be here for the long term. Yeah. I'm not at all worried about that, and I've been on record.
And you want to break down your defense real quick before we move on?
Like I said, they were able to get guys like Joe Jackson. They were able to draft guys like Tristan Hill, who would be big for the for that defensive line. Michael Jackson is a guy that I like that they drafted at corner that I think could eventually take Byron Jones's place if they don't end up paying him. But you still got Byron Jones. My favorite position right now that the Cowboys have right now is that linebacking core. I think Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, and I'm not trying to be too much of a homer, but I think they have the potential to be a top five linebacking duo next year.
Oh, I
think
that team, say they're fairly close.
That's what I'm saying. Even you would agree.
Vander
Esch put up numbers that even a guy played 16 games would be impressive. He put that up in like 12 games starting. Like,
and my thing,
he's impressive.
I think Vander Esch is better than Jalen Smith, and that's saying something to me.
And right now he is, but once Jalen finally gets in that groove, they could be right there at neck and neck, both great, and that's going to be scary for a lot of NFL offenses.
And they were able to get Sean Lee he redid his contract.
Sean Lee with them is huge because he's still a good mentor. He's still a guy you want to have around. And then at the safety position, I think Kayvon Frazier is going to take the next step this year.
I really think this defense needs to be on it for this team to win the division. Their offense is going to go. They're going to be in games and running the ball. They need, basically, this defense needs to be shut down most of the time, in my opinion.
Where I agree with you is, yes, they need to be great for them to win a Super Bowl. Well, I think if they're, not league average, but above average, this team is still a playoff team. Whether they win a Super Bowl or not, that's going to come down to how elite the
defense
is. I know
how you compared them to the 49ers.
And I wasn't trying to compare them to the Niners.
But the one thing that was griping me as a Niners fan is they were always very close to either winning or losing. It was too tight of a team, or too tight of games. And that's why I am concerned with this team. I'm not sure if they can get ahead and stay ahead. Let's say if they're playing, the Eagles. If the Eagles get ahead, it's going to be tough for this Cowboys team to come back. And I'm saying two scores, three scores ahead. This is where I have concerns. If this defense is able to control the offense to a lower score, and this offense can take a lot of the time of possession over, then that's how they're going to win games.
That's fine. That's how they've been winning, and that's how a lot of teams win. Controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the time of possession.
My only concern is if they fall behind in games, they're not able to come back and win it. Because I just don't see Dak is able to take, come back on games. And he's done it before, and he could prove me wrong.
And see, what I would, my first thing for that, and I know we got to go on to the other teams too, but the first thing I'll say to that is the Rams playoff game last year. I was there. They were down like two or three touchdowns, and they almost came back and tied, and possibly could have won that game. And I think that is what Dak has the potential to be, and that was a good sign, and that's why I believe Dak can build on that this
year. My only thing is they can't fall behind like that.
Team can fall behind like that.
Well, the Patrick Mahomes, and there's certain teams. I'm talking about Super Bowl teams. If we're talking about teams that are going to make it to the Super Bowl, they got to keep it one score or they got to stay ahead. Mm-hmm. To me, they cannot fall behind further than one score. Or this is where they fall behind and, they don't have to line up trying to stop the run more than, the Cowboys have to score fast because they're extremely down. But let's move on to the Giants because why not?
Yeah, go for it.
This is going to be a fun one.
Enjoy it.
Eli Manning, trash. Golden Tate kind of reminds me of Sterling Shepard. Not as big, but they're really similar players. I like Sterling Shepard. I'm a little afraid to take any of these receivers on fantasy. Not that we're talking about that.
No, we're not yet.
End of the day, this offense is going to go how Saquon goes and how Evan Ingram goes. To me, Evan Ingram's got to be your number one receiver, even though he's your tight end. He's got to take most of your targets. And Saquon. I mean, Saquon, to me, is already potentially one or two backs, maybe behind Zeke, because Zeke has performed for three seasons.
Yeah.
Saquon is you know, the receiver that you want, basically, or the running back that you want. He could do absolutely everything that you asked for. Mm-hmm. This team is not going to make the playoffs unless Eli Manning somehow is able to
find the fountain of youth.
2007, 2011, yeah. Kind of do what he's done back then. I just don't see it. I think at the end of the season, at some point, I would assume Daniel Jones, you'd want to throw him in at some point. You're going to know when you're losing. You're already 2-8, 2-7, that you're going to want. Why keep put Eli Manning
in
there?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. If the Giants are smart by week 6 or 7, if they're not winning, Daniel Jones is the quarterback.
I would agree. Not that I believe that Daniel Jones is going
to
be a
long-term. I think I need to say that louder because I think it's a little far away. But if by week 6 or 7, if they're not winning, and I'm not winning constitutes being like 3-4 or 2-5, they got to put Daniel Jones in and see what you got. We just talked about this with the Dolphins. The Patriots. If Tom Brady goes down, they got to, you know, put in the young guy, see what you got.
Yeah.
And that's
But especially sense. With Eli Manning, he has not been good for two seasons. And I'm giving the benefit of...
I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady.
And I'm giving the benefit of that with the offensive line being trash. But with that, I don't think he's going to be any good. He's a noodle arm at this point.
Yeah.
So at some point, if you're down, I'm okay with starting him out the season. Because I don't think Daniel Jones is ready to be the starter.
Right.
But within 6 weeks, if you guys are 1-5, 2-4.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 3-3, then sure. But if you're down fairly amount of games, I think might as well throw Daniel Jones in there.
I would agree.
This defense is going to be completely interesting. They drafted Dexter Lawrence in the first, which he's basically a stop-the-run nose tackle. I just don't see him in the modern defense as something more than, you know, I think they overdrafted him. Mm-hmm. But he might have been a player that you draft in the end of the second, personally. And not to take away from Dexter Lawrence. He's going to be a good player, just not on passing downs. 100%. He's going to be off the field. You know, B.J. Hill, Devin Tomlinson, nothing special. They did draft Lorenzo Carter a season ago. They have Alec Ogletree. I mean, he's not anything special. They have Jabril Peppers, who they traded from Odell Beckham and some picks for. They got some picks for. They have Antonio Bethea. He played decently, but the past 2 seasons ago with Arizona, but last season he was not any good, and he's very old. They still have Janoris Jenkins, which to the life of me, I don't think he makes this team. I think he gets traded or cut. Right. At this point, he has a high salary. Might as well just get rid of him. They did draft Julian Love, who is one of my favorite corners out of Notre Dame this season. I think he ends up being the starter at some point. We didn't do the over-unders for the Cowboys. We'll do that one real quick.
Okay.
9 wins.
I'm going to take the over. I think 10.
I think 9 or 10 is where they're at. I'll take the over because I'll take the 10.
I'll put it this way. If it were 10, I'd probably take the under. I think 9 is safe to take it over. I think 10, anywhere from 10, they're as low as anywhere from 8 to 9 if something crazy with the offense doesn't go well. And then there can potentially be as high as 10 to 12 if things go right.
If they had given a contract extension to Jason Garrett, I would take the under. Okay. But
you're funny.
Since this is his last year on his contract,
true funny guy.
I think they make the playoffs. So I'll take 9 or 10. So with the Giants.
In case it's not known, I would have taken the over regardless of the situation with Jason Garrett's contract. But anyways.
6-6. I didn't think the Giants are going to be trash.
I'm going to take the under on that one.
The Eagles. And this is the team that's, to me, the only team that's probably going to compete versus the Cowboys. And I think both teams actually make the playoffs. This team goes as Carson Wentz goes because I don't believe they have a quarterback that can, you know, take over and kind of deal with being a winning team. Carson Wentz got to stay injured, not injured. He's got to be healthy. They have a lot of talented players on the skill positions. They have Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, who they drafted. They still have Corey Clements, Wendell Smallwood, and Josh Adams. One of those three, or, you know, two of those players of Corey Clements, Wendell Smallwood, and Josh Adams are not going to make the team. It's tough. I think Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clements don't make the team. I'll give Josh Adams, because they're kind of similar to what Miles Sanders is at that point. They have so many options at receiver. They have Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, which I'm still surprised on the team, J.J. Whiteside. To me, it's just so many weapons on top of what they have at tight end and Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. I think Dallas Goedert is super talented, and he's unfortunately behind, you know, as a number two. I think he's going to showcase this season. I think Zach Ertz's stats line are going to go down. He got like 150 targets last season, which is crazy. So I think this offense could be, this is a very boom bust offense. 100%. I think this could be the number one offense in the league. And I think this team could be very bad if Carson Wentz is injured. If he's healthy, this team will be one of the better teams in this league. This defense is talented. They have Derek Barnett, who's a very talented, from two seasons ago, he's a first-round pick. They get Malik Jackson in the middle, Brandon Graham, and Fletcher Cox. That's a very, you know, talented defensive line. And on top of that, they signed back Vinnie Curry from Tampa Bay. They know what they have in him. They still have Tim Jernigan, and they have Josh Sweat still. This is a very talented defensive line. In the linebacker core, they get Zach Brown from Washington. He's very extremely underrated. He's been outstanding, a great linebacker it just seems like teams just don't pay attention, and he's able to sign a one-year cheap deal with the Eagles. They have Nigel Bradham, Paul Werlow. So they have some, you know, potential good, high, great players there. They have Ronnie McLeod. I can't even say his last name.
Ronnie McLeod.
Malcolm Jenkins still. He's getting a little older. And then they have Ronald Darby still. And Sidney Jones is the big question mark. He tore his ACL going into the draft. He was a top 15 pick. They get him in the second. This guy, if he produces, they don't have a weakness in this defense. This team, look, the one thing that the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys and the Eagles probably both make playoffs. I think, personally, if you're looking at the over-unders for this team, they are at 9.5. I'll take the over, just because I think they're going to end up taking the division, and I'm not taking anything away but from the Cowboys. I think they still make the playoffs. It's just too much thunder, too much on offense where this team cannot continue to win games. What do you think of this team?
As a Cowboys fan, all I'm going to say is everyone's hyping them up. Everyone's, you know, completely ignoring the fact that Carson Wentz hasn't been healthy the last couple years. And you know what? If Carson Wentz is healthy and they win the division, then that's great. But I'm not going to put my money on that. Even if I were an Eagles fan, I'd be cautiously optimistic, because you have a quarterback with now back problems. And I know his leg injury is better and he's healed from that, but still with back problems. I, as a Cowboys fan, know what having a quarterback with back problems, how that goes, and, you know, it just doesn't usually go too well. And I'm not saying Carson Wentz isn't talented. That's not taking away from his talent, but I just don't know if you can overcome that, no matter how talented you are. So we shall see how it works out for them. But right now, being unbiased, and you can say I'm not being biased, or you can say I'm being biased, but I'm 100% being unbiased when I say this, I will have the Cowboys over the Eagles next year, just based on the fact that they are healthy and we know what they're
going to get. What do you take the over under at 9.5?
I'll take the over, but only because I think that they win 9 to 10 games. I could also, like I said, if Carson Wentz isn't healthy, the difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles to me is the quarterback position. Dak has played, for the most part, 15, 16 games every year since he's been in the league.
Dak has missed a game.
Better. Yet. And Carson Wentz has. And to me, the reason they made the playoffs last year, they had a good backup quarterback. They had Nick Foles. He's not there this year.
So
they don't have the backup that they had last year.
I think a backup quarterback can win games here. That team is too talented to not win games.
I'm not saying
they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they can win 8 games with a backup.
And it may happen, but I would be, you know, shocked if that were to happen.
If Carson Wentz goes down.
I think Nick Foles was just different.
I don't know. This team is extremely talented, where I think next year's Cowboys fans are winning. They're going to say that they're Carson Wentz is only winning because his offensive talent is extreme. He has so much offensive talent. They're going to be like, oh, look at Nick Foles, because Nick Foles is probably going to play terrible this season.
I'm not saying that their talent's more than ours or less than ours, but they do have a lot of talent. But if Carson Wentz wins, it's because Carson Wentz was healthy. It's not.
I'm glad you said that.
It's not because their talent, but if we are saying that they have a lot of talent, then if a backup quarterback comes in and is successful, then we know why they were successful.
So moving on to the Redskins, this team could be god awful next year. They have Case Keenum, Colt McCoy. I'm assuming Case Keenum will end up starting the first couple games. But Dwayne Haskins, you got to start him at some point. I don't know if he's ready to play right away. Maybe it'll take him a couple games to, ready. But you got to put him in. To me, there's no point to play a whole season without Dwayne Haskins being the starter. Or at least, a game or two with Case Keenum, because you're not going to win with him.
Right.
They have Adrian Peterson, who, is probably going to be your starter for now. Darius Geis needs to stay healthy. He has a hamstring injury now. He needs to stay healthy, and they have a lot of talent at the running back position. They have Chris Thompson still, Samaje Perine, and Bryce Love. Bryce Love's not going to play this season. But they have a lot in that running game. They need to continue to run the ball and play action football, basically. They don't really have too much. They have at the receiver position. They have Paul Richardson. They overpaid for him. But what I'm hearing is Calvin Harmon is playing lights out in training camp, and he's looking special. So don't be surprised if that guy is their starting receiver at some point. And they still have Terry McLaren from Ohio State and Josh Doctson, who's not very special to me. What do you think of this offense?
I don't think it's that great. I mean, Calvin Harmon could be great, and to me, that's basically it. After that, Richardson, they overpaid. They better hope he's good. Josh Doctson, I've never been enamored with him. Not just because he's a Redskin, I never saw what people saw in him. And I think if I'm not mistaken, they took Doctson over a couple of the receivers who are better right now, and that's Redskins gonna Redskin.
But they still have Jordan Reed, who can't stay healthy. But if he stays healthy, he's a great.
And that's what I was going to get to next.
And Vernon Davis,
their tight ends are probably going to be like you talked about with the Giants, are going to be how that offense goes. And same with Darius Geis, that running back and the tight ends are going to be how this offense.
The one thing I will say, I think they have a lot of potential at that receiving, with Terry McLaren and Calvin Harmon. I think they can produce and win if they start Dwayne Haskins. To me, you got to start the young guys, get them out there. And, keep Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed as your keeping the veteran spirit on the starting lineup. This team can, it wouldn't surprise me if they won 8 games. I think this team's good enough to win 8 games. I don't think they're the Dolphins who, they're going to peak extremely high. I think this team can win 8 games because they have talent on that defensive side. And they have a little bit of talent on the offensive side. It'll go the way Haskins goes. If he can start hitting those receivers, then they'll start, playing. But look, this defense is good. They have Jonathan Allen, they have Darine Payne, they have Montez Sweat, who they like fell to them. They stole him. They have drafted so well the past few years. The only position I'm a little scared about is their linebacking core. They have John Bostic. Ryan Carrington is a good outside linebacker. And they have Mason Foster. But Reuben Foster tore his ACL. If Reuben Foster was there and he would have stayed healthy, to me this would have been a top 5 defense. I mean, down the stretch, even at their corners, their safeties, they have talent there. So this team, I think, could still be a top 10 defense. So I think that's what, this whole division has pretty decent defense outside of Giants. But this team can be fairly good in a year or two. I think this team could be a playoff team in a year or two. This year, I would say they're not. But it wouldn't surprise me if they won 8 games.
I'll make a bold statement to you right now. Depending on how this health goes with Carson Wentz, I could easily see the Redskins being a better team than the Eagles in a couple years. It would not surprise me. I mean, Carson Wentz has to stay healthy. If Carson Wentz starts having injury issues, then that team could take a step. I mean, they would need to start looking for another quarterback if Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. And I'm just going to put it, I know from experience having a quarterback that was out, missed half chunks of games at periods of time, as great of a quarterback as he was. And Carson Wentz, you know, I'm not saying it, I'm not wishing it upon Carson Wentz. I don't hope it happens to Carson Wentz, but just do not be surprised if for some reason it does.
And I think the Redskins can potentially have a rookie of the year in Montez Sweat. They stole him deep in the draft, and he's going to
defensive rookie of the year. You mean?
Yeah, defensive rookie of the year.
Because Kyler Murray's going to win offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, he's also going to play offense. Did I just say rookie of the year? I meant defensive rookie of the year.
This ain't baseball, motherfucker. All right.
But he's going to a team where he doesn't. There's talent there, so he's able to just produce sacks. So that he's just gonna. It wouldn't surprise me if this team, their numbers are 6.5 for win total next year. I think that's exactly where they're at.
I'm gonna take 6 games. I'm gonna take the under.
I'll take the over because I think they can get to 7 or 8 wins.
I just think if the Cowboys and Eagles are as good as people, I mean, I think the Cowboys for sure should be. The Eagles, it all depends on Carson Wentz. But if those teams are gonna be good, other than the Giants. I mean, they're going to have to play those teams 4 times, and I think that's 4 losses right there, and I don't know
what... I don't know if it's four losses. I think they can win one versus the Cowboys and one from the Eagles. I think they could take one.
I'm not sure. But what I'm going to say is that I don't know what their schedule looks like, but if they have to play teams that are above... I don't know. I think this team could maybe win 5, maybe 6 games. I don't know if they win more than 7. I think 7 is their tops, and that's why I'm going to take the under, because I think
their tops are 8, personally. I think Haskins can get them to 8 if they play.
Okay, all right. I'll put that note in. If they start Haskins at some point, then sure they can get to 8 wins. Yeah. But we're talking Keenum or Colt McCoy starting and not Haskins.
This team would have won the division last year if Alex Smith didn't get injured, or at least make the playoffs. They would have made the playoffs, in my opinion, if Alex Smith didn't get injured.
I think the Cowboys were going to win the division. Once Amari Cooper trade happened, they were winning that division regardless. The Redskins could have made the playoffs, but the Cowboys were winning that division.
I think they would have at least made the playoffs or win the division. That's where I'm putting it at.
Okay.
But moving on to fantasy, we'll run down really quickly. There's a lot of players here who you could potentially take. The one thing we didn't talk about is Jason Witten, just because he's Jason Witten. Zeke is potentially the first or second player in the draft. Amari Cooper is, you know, a player who I'm... look, end of the day, I am a little scared to take Amari Cooper because I want to continue to see him perform day in, day out. If he starts early in the season with having, you know, a game or two where he disappears and doesn't do anything, I'm fearful to start him the third week because I know how he is. I've had him in 2 seasons where you know, he just disappears, and then all of a sudden, a game will blow up and have a huge game. I want to continue to see consistency with him.
The only reason I will agree with you in saying that I would avoid Cooper is just because the Cowboys have more weapons this year. They had Gallup last year, but they added Cobb. Adding Witten back, now you have a for sure tight end that's going to take some targets. I still believe Witten's
going to... I'm still going to think that Amari Cooper gets the most targets.
I'm not saying he doesn't. But Jason Witten will... I'm not saying he's going to be a fantasy tight end, but he's going to get a lot of, you know, short down looks. Probably 5, 6, 7 targets a game because he's a reliable security blanket for Dak. And that's honestly what I missed the most from last year is not having that. And that's why I'm so high right now on what this team could be, because I think Jason Witten adds that security blanket. And I think I'll go as far, and you can call me crazy. If we had Jason Witten in the playoff game against the Rams last year, we win that shit. Because I think that offense could have been on the field more, could have converted more third down. There was a couple third and ones that Jason Witten would have converted in his sleep that they had to end up running the ball.
At the end of the season, is it Blake Jarwin who was your starter?
Blake Jarwin was getting a lot of it.
He was getting a lot. He looked very well. He looked very good.
Blake Jarwin, between him and Schultz, I think is the one that has the most potential. But I think they like Jarwin or Schultz a little bit
more. Though that Jason Witten's not going to play as much as he would have.
No, I don't see... That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to, but I think he will be on the field a lot in third down and short as a security blanket. You're going to have on first, second, and big third downs, then you'll have guys like Jarwin and Schultz on the field.
Jason Witten is basically going to be a glorified coach who potentially might play a little bit.
But I think he's going to be a lot more.
But fantasy, we're talking about fantasy.
I understand we're talking about fantasy, but I'm talking about the team as a whole. I think
let's go back into fantasy.
Okay, fantasy. Michael Gallup is a guy I would target, probably not hella early, but later on.
He would be more of a waiver for me.
See, I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here, but I think Michael Gallup has that has that potential to be a really, really, really good
receiver. If I see in preseason where he's continued to, you know, grow, then okay. I'll put him higher. I just don't see it right now. Let me see where.
I'm sure he's not getting drafted, but he's right there, 62. Right ahead of John Brown, Devontae Parker, so Debo Samuel.
He's going the 14th round, so that's the last one of the last picks in the
draft. And that's fine. And like I said, I would probably take him. But
my only concern is there's a lot of receivers now. Are they gonna if their offense changes and they start, you know, passing more, then I would feel more comfortable, because I feel like Amari Cooper, Cobb, and maybe I'll just throw out there Witten.
Okay,
they're gonna get the most amount of targets.
No, and that's what I'm saying. That's the reason why I would probably be, you know, skeptical to see what he does. Like, I would agree with you there. But what I'm saying is, if the Cowboys actually give their guys targets and give the guys that should be getting targets, Gallup should be up there closer, you know, mid-season, should be getting a lot of the looks. Because other than Cooper and maybe Cobb, probably going to be more in the slot, I think he's one of the better deep ball threats that Dak will have this year.
So, moving to the Giants, of course, Saquon, he's my number one running back. Evan Ingram, I think, is going to be the one that basically gets a lot more targets because of Odell Beckham leaving. When Odell was not playing last season, they moved to Evan Ingram. I think he's the one, basically, he's going to be the number one weapon outside of Saquon. I really don't like necessarily, Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard play kind of similar. They both play better in the slot, so where are you going to put them out? Who's going to be the outside receiver? They do have Cody Lattimore, but he hasn't done anything in the NFL. They also have Corey Coleman. Again, hasn't done anything in the NFL. So, to me, if I'm going to put my marbles on a player outside Saquon here, is Evan Ingram. And I would not touch Eli Manning for anything.
Of course. I 100% agree.
Eagles. This is a fun one because I don't know what to think about the receiving core. You know, if I was going to put money, I think it would be Miles Sanders. I just don't think long-term Jordan Howard's going to be, you know, the ball carrier. Maybe 4 or 5 games in, they might be able to switch in Miles Sanders. They have a lot of weapons here, and that's good and bad, because I don't know where the ball. You know, Alshon Jeffrey never gets 800. You know, he probably averages 800, 900 yards a season. So he reminds me similar to Amari Cooper. He can disappear a couple games and appear and have a blow up game. And he, on top of that, he has injury concerns. He seems to be injured every single year. So I would probably, if I had to pick a player, sadly, I would try not to avoid any of these players, but DeSean Jackson. I think DeSean Jackson's your deep threat, even though they have Nelson Aguilar, which I don't even know if he's going to make the team at this point.
I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's going to, as much as I hate to say, is probably going to be really, really, really solid. I don't know that he'll be the number one guy. I don't know that he'll be, you know, top fantasy guy. But I think as far as receivers on that team goes, he's going to be one just like kind of like N'Keal Harry on the Patriots this year as a rookie, I think could stand out a lot. And on that, as far as that defense goes, I would say they're probably top five. So you probably
top 5 to 10. Yeah,
so yeah. I would say they're definitely draftable.
So the Redskins, this is an interesting group because basically your running backs are the only players you're pretty much drafting there. I'm trying to see where Darius Geis is going. He's going in the 5th round. I think I've seen him in the 6th. I probably wouldn't touch him until the 8th because this guy's
just about an injury
waiting to happen.
I don't know that I would take him hell early.
Adrian Peterson, to me, is more of the back that you're probably going to bet on to start the season. Probably, you know, he just needs carries. And he's going in the 8th round right now. Almost the 9th round. Basically the 9th round.
I would almost flip those.
Yeah, I think
Adrian Peterson's value might be as good in the 5th round, but I think if there's a guy to take before, I would take Peterson, like you said before.
Yeah. Geis. Well, I think I would take Peterson in the 9th round, than taking Geis in the 5th round.
Well, there you go.
And Darius is almost in the 6th round, but yeah, I think the value is better to get Peterson in the 8th than get Geis in the 5th. It's just things need to clear up for me in the preseason. I need to see some, you know, him actually play some preseason games, then going into fantasy where we can decide or where, you know, what he's going to get, because it's just too much. Like, he just needs to play. This dude's always injured at this point. So, you know, everyone else on the Redskins don't really interest me outside of potentially Jordan Reed, who, you know, I continue to bet on, and he continues to get injured. But when he plays, he's as good of a tight end as any there out there. And then, you know, if Jordan Reed gets injured, go pick up Vernon Davis. That's the first thing you should do.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out there and he performs like a, you know, number one tight end in fantasy when he gets the opportunity, when Jordan Reed's not, you know, getting the main target. So
yeah,
with that, we'll end the pod unless you want something else to say.
No, I think we're good.
All right. Have a good one.